kaj je.
Kof Vov Shvat, Sunday the 15th of February, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, the Shulchan, where Halacha and Agadah to meet. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by families Perlman and Wiesenfeld, Le'ilu Nishmas, Mas Chava Devorah Bas Simcha Yisrael, Dick Aleha Shalom, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld, Zichron Levocho, and Le'ilu Nishmas, Bas Yerochel, Bas Revraim Meir.
If I may add, learning today is also the Fuah Shlema of Yaakov Yosef ben Reza Esther. Thank you. So our boys say, Parshas Truma starts the Chelek of Shmois, which is the Mishkan. Many, many Parshas are dealing with the Mishkan. Now, since Sefer Shmois is Sefer HaGeula, which is supposed to be speaking about the redemption and the Yetziah from Mitzrayim, why is about half of it dedicated to the Mishkan? L'chura, it would seem more make sense that the second part of Sefer Shmois should be in Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is the Sefer of the Korbanos. So the Mishkan has to do with Korbanos. Why is the Mishkan in the part of Sefer Shmois? Just a little introduction before I get to what I want to speak about today. So the Ramban speaks about this point in the beginning in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmois, and he says that the Geula is only concluded when we do a full circle and we're back to where we started from. And since Sefer Bereishis, the Abbas were in Eretz Yisrael and the Shechina was dwelling amongst them, the Geula will be completed only when we're back to that situation. And that is the Mishkan. And obviously the question is, but the Mishkan's not in Eretz Yisrael? Very good. So L'chura, until the end of Sefer Shmois, Sefer Devarim, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu did not make it. So if the idea is to go back to where we started from, and that's what the Raman says, that's how come the Mishkan is the second 40-50% of Sefer Shmois, because that concludes the Geula, what kind of, why is it called the full circle if we're not back to Eretz Yisrael? But if you look carefully in the words of the Ramban, he takes care of that. He says, when you are in a place where there's Shechina and Mishkan, that's called Eretz Yisrael. That's what it is. And he says, Mefresh, once we were in the desert, even though we're not back to Eretz Yisrael, but since the Kodesh Baruch Hu was dwelling amongst us, that's called that, it's ois, ois, in Yiddish, ois means finished, my Yiddish teacher, okay? It's ois called the Eretz Lehem. We're yes, Eretz Lehem. That's what the Ramban says. Meaning the Maila of Eretz Yisrael is not just Eretz Yisrael, but the Maila of Eretz Yisrael is that it's the Mokum Shechina. True, once Eretz Yisrael was chosen, Mishinifchara Eretz Yisrael, Nifsalu Kol HaRotzes V'Shechina. But on our way to Eretz Yisrael, anywhere will there be Shechina, it has a din of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Mishkan is a conclusion of Matan Torah, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to a certain degree, we're back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ramban says in the Hakdama. It's a big Yisrael, which means Eretz Yisrael's Chashivas is because it's a Mokum Shechina. There's no other intrinsic Chashivas to Eretz Yisrael but that, which is a tremendous thing. So let's go on. So as we know, the Kelim of the Mishkan. One of the Kelim is the Shulchan mentioned in this week's Parsha. Now, as you know, in Hebrew, words have a meaning. Let's say in English, this is called table. What does table have to do with the function of this desk? Nothing. Maybe tea able enables you to have tea. It was like the Pshatimir. You know, in England, they drink tea at 4 o'clock. Okay, we're getting to the Pshatimir. Tea able. But Pashas, why is this called a chair? I don't know. That's what they called it. They got together and decided to call it the chair. And Lashon HaKodesh, these things do not happen. So let's go first of all the halakha part of the Shulchan. And then I want to show you the Agatha part, how exactly it fits. But Torah Hashem Tmima Meshivas Nafesh. Let's start. It says in the last Mishnah, Meseches Chagiga. I must say, everybody's awake. It's unbelievable. It's because it's Sunday, we're not matin.
Don't let us sleep.
Huh? Don't let us sleep. Okay. Let's see if you can keep on. If you could, I'll tell you a story at the end. Okay? Okay, whoever falls asleep is going to cause the whole tzibur not to have the story. Okay. That's what I do with my teenagers, it works. I don't know if it works with people beyond the age of 25. Anyway, let's start. The last Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga says that we do not allow the Kohanim to touch the Shulchan during the Yom Tov, during the Moed, even though during the Yom Tov everybody's Becheskes Tahara. Nevertheless, after Yom Tov were Choshesh Lemafrea, retroactively, that they were Tameh, and then we're going to have to take the Shulchan and put it in the Mikveh. And since it says that the Shulchan has to be on a 24-7 duty, Lechem Lefonai Tomit, that's what it says, it constantly has to be in use. So we cannot enable that there'll be gaps that the Shulchan has to go to the Mikveh. So to prevent that, we do not allow the Kohanim to touch the Shulchan, which is in the Azar and the Heichal, during Yom Tov, because we're choshesh that afterwards there'll be a Tumah, which will cause the Shulchan not to constantly perform the way it should. Asks Rashi on the spot, and what about the menorah? The menorah also there, it says next week's parasha, Lois Nel Tamid. The word Tamid appears there as well, and the Mishnah Chagiga is only singling out the Shulchan. What's the difference between the menorah and the Shulchan? What's not giving me that Swishen Beda? That's how you say it, right? Swishen. You know how I got to learn the word Swishen? Because there's an Elohim mirror called Svi Chashen. So you take out the chet, it's tzvishin, right? That's what comes out. I got to do this simani. So what's the nafkamina between Shulchan and Menorah? Answers Rashi, the tamid of Menorah is not 24-7, but what it means, it's a smother. It's constantly every night. But it's not that it's on 24-7. Rather, it has what the Chofetz Chaim used to say, what's called a masmid. Masmid is not someone that learns 24 hours. It's not shaykh. And what masmid is that he keeps his dharim. And he's very makbid, day in, day out, the Zedorim were kept. Kovea itim. That's called the masmid. Meaning, on a regular basis. Not 24-7, but on a regular basis. Says Rashi, that the tamid by menorah is like the tamid that the Chofetz Chaim was talking about. Namely, it's not constant, like the Shulchan is. Rather, it's on a regular basis. But there are gaps that we're not using the menorah. Namely, during the day. So if the Kohanim will touch the menorah, we could doivel the menorah during the day. That's what Rashi answers. Asks Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Elchanan, and what about Ner Ma'aravi? That the Sifra says that it was also 24-7. Ner Ma'aravi. Ner Ma'aravi, there was a mini Chanukah mess every day called Ner Ma'aravi. Shebo haya madrik, ubo haya mesayim, and it was constantly lighting. And the Sifra learns it's a mitzvah. They have a candle which is not only on a regular basis, but constant. So, according to that, Rashi's teretz is not enough, because Rashi's saying that by the menorah means on a regular basis. But if you say, what about Ner Ma'aravi, which is not on a regular basis? And it's one of the few times the Tosfos remains with the kasha. It's not so common that the Tosfos remains with the kasha. There are a few. I'm sorry?
But the menorah itself can still go to the mikveh, even though the lamp is still burning. The menorah and the lamps are not the same.
Yeah, but the lamp will be extinguished. There won't be a fire.
Well, you can take away the lamp and carry on burning.
You can't do that. You can't. Hanukkah candles, maybe you can do that. You can't do that with the menorah. You can't.
The menorah is a stand for the lamps.
The center. You can't have a lamp without a menorah. It's not shaykh. So I'll call upon him. That's Rabbi Chonan's kasha. Not Rabbi Chonan, just want to clear. It's not Rabbi Chonan Vassaman, Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Lebrocha, Hashem Yikom Domai. It's being one by the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Elchanan. Comes the Maral of Prague, a religious Jew who lived 400 years ago, and he says a teretz. And he says, Dobar Niflo Admoed. He says, even if we're even Amar Ravi, it's not a kasha. Why? It's not a din in the menorah, it's a din in the hadloka. Yes, you cannot light the candle without a menorah. True. And once you put the menorah in the mikveh, you won't have the candle burning. True. But it doesn't say tamid on the menorah, that the menorah has to be constantly in use. Rather, it says you have a menorah, and then light a candle tamid. But there's no mitzvah to have a menorah tamid. And therefore, indirectly, it will affect the Ner Ma'aravi, but that's only indirectly. Masha Enkin by the Shulchan, it's a din in the Shulchan that should carry the Lechem with it. It's not a din you should always have Lechem, rather the Shulchan should constantly schlep upon it, not the word schlep, I mean, noise al gabav, the lechem upon him. Says the Maharal, I'll prove it to you. In which parasha does it say to put the lechem on the shulchan? Parashas Truma, this week's parasha, which is the parasha of the kelim. In which parasha does it say lahalos ner tamid? Not this week's parasha. Parashas Tetzaveh. This week's parasha is dealing about making the kelim. Part and parcel of making the shulchan is, like the shulchan has 4 feet, the shulchan has other things, the shulchan has the lechem on it. It's a din in the shulchan. Masha Enkin, it's not a din in the menorah. It's gviyah, kaftoreah, perachah. No. You don't light a candle without a menorah. Enkis it up. So the point is, the fact that it's not mentioned in this week's parsha of the hadlaka seminar shows it's not a din in the menorah, it's a din in hadlaka. Masha Enken, the din of the lechem, it's mentioned in this week's parsha. This week's parsha is speaking about making the kelim. The Aron, the Shulchan, the menorah, the Mizbeach. Why are you mentioning already the lechem? Because the lechem is a din in the Shulchan. Not a din of the lechem. The shulchan has to be constantly in use. Therefore, says the Mishnah Chagiga, we cannot have a possibility that the shulchan won't be functioning. But there's no din that the menorah should be in use kol hazman. Once you have a menorah, light a ner tamid. But there's no din that the menorah should be constantly in use. It's not a din of the menorah. It's a din of the lechem. Right? That's what the Maharal says. I want to tell you a story about this. I'll already tell you the story now. There's a chashev Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that will remain nameless, that I told him this word. He says, Vel Soktos. Who says this? I was speaking to him in Hebrew, he was speaking to me in Yiddish. Okay, who says this? I says, the Guralia. The Guralia? El Gedruk Zusammen mit Rebellion Mizrahi? Is it printed together on the same page? You want to make sure we're talking about the same one. Rebellion Mizrahi? I said, yeah. No, but like where I come from, it's like saying that the Magid Mishnah is important because it's printed on the same page of the Marie Cuckoos. It has its own chashivas. I said, yeah, also the Siv Seher Chamis on that. I thought he's a philosopher. He's such a London. That's how we talk. He comes from a very Lomdash Yeshiva. Tell me another word of the Maral on Derech Zeh. I'll just tell you one more, and then I'm going to come back to the Shulchan. He says, tell me more. I don't believe. And he's known as a shtickle stern Rosh Hashiva, who doesn't easily give compliments. I was giving him a lift from one place to another. I never met him before. And I knew he deals in kachim. So I told him this Maharal. He says, I thought he's into numbers. 5, 6, 2, 3. Like it's like a telephone number. You know, oh, really? That's Mamash Emes de Galundas. Tell me another word like that of the Maharal. So I told him, a mission hurrius. Mishnah Horiyah says, Kohen Godol makrib oinen, ve'eno oichel. The oinen means if a person never lost someone from the Shiva Koivim, if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to be oivet. But a Kohen Godol is allowed to be oivet. That's the halacha. But Kohen Godol is allowed to be oivet, but he's not allowed to be oichel from the Korban. Kohen Godol makrib oinen, ve'eno oichel. The Mishnah Horiyah. So l'chor, from here you could derive that what's more severe, eating a korban or avoiding the Beis HaMikdash? The eating. Because the avoida we allow him, and the eating we do not allow. Right? That's what you may conclude. But it's known everywhere. It's the opposite. Baal mum yochiach. Baal mum is allowed to be oichel from the korban. He's not allowed to be oivet. And everywhere else it's like that. So why over here should be the opposite? Says the Maharal, no. That's not the pshat in the Mishnah. For sure, hakrava is more chomer than achila, as proven by a baal mum. Hi, Kohen Godol Makrib Oinen, Ve'eino Oicha. It's not that the Chila versus the Akrava. Just when he is Makrib, he's wearing Shmoyna Begodim. He's carrying the status of a Kohen Godol. So therefore, he's Mutar to be Oived. When he's Oichel, he's not wearing Shmoyna Begodim. There's no Dine Achila of a Kohen Godol. He's Noitel Barosh, but he's eating like a regular Kohen. And the Heter of Aninus was said only to a Kohen Godol. So the difference between the two is not comparing achila to akrava. Rather, the gavra has a different function when he's makriv than when he's oichel. When he's makriv, he's wearing shmoyna begadim. He's in the capacity of a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol has a heter of aninus. When the same very man is oichel, right? When the same very man is oichel, he is not functioning as a kohen gadol. He's eating as a kohen. And therefore, there's no Isur, the Aninus is Asur, because there's no Heta of Aninus by regular Kohen. I told this to this Rosh Hashiva, he was about to faint. I promise you. I said, that's how he talks? That's Yeshiva Shespitz Lumpus. Now the truth is, when the Baal ever talks, that's how he talks. Just in Agarata, we don't have so much Lechinuch. So when you start saying Ila, Alul, Tzura, Choymer, we get lost. But he's a Lamdan per excellence, and he's always speaking that kind of mahalach. Bidiyuk, the way I just now tell you, these two words in halacha, that's how he's talking also in Agata. Bidiyuk. Just in Agata, we weren't trained enough to have a sensitive ear, what's called Lamdas in Agata. And Lamdas in halacha, we went to yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, we were trained. Okay, now coming back to the Maral about the Shulchan. The Shulchan has to constantly be carrying on at the lechem. It's a din in the Shulchan. The Shulchan has to be functioning 24/7. The menorah does not have to be functioning 24/7. If you have a menorah, light a ner ma'arabi 24/7. But it's not a din in the menorah, it's a din in the ner. Let's take this now a little bit in the agarata part. As we mentioned before, the word Shulchan. How does the word Shulchan, what does it mean in Hebrew? Look at the root.
Shalach.
Shalach. It means to what? To send. Why is a shulchan coming from the root to send? Nama. So in benching we say, Harachamon yishlach lo mebrocha meruba b'bayis hazeh, v'al shulchan zeh shachanu lav. If you think about it, why are you just singling out the shulchan from all the furniture at home? You already said b'bayit hazeh. Harachamon yishlach lo mebrocha meruba b'bayit hazeh. So you already mentioned the bayit. V'al shulchan zeh. You're singling out, after you said the klal. Because you eat on the shulchan, and the bracha comes on the shulchan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sholeach a bracha on shulchan shel adam. That's really how it works. That's going to be supposed to leave crumbs when you bench, halacha, that the bracha should be chal. The bracha is chal on the shulchan. But now let's go back to the halacha aspect. The shulchan in the mizbeach is in constant use, 24/7. The mizbeach is the miniature of the whole world. What does that mean when we come back to us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly pumping into us livelihood. Meaning, when a person, let's say, Baruch Hashem, everybody in this room is alive and well till 120, Be'ez Hashem. Are you alive because when you were born you got a battery that will last for 120 years? Is that what it is? Or every second HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing into you, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? What's the chilek? I'm alive anyway, man of Kamina. It's a different kesher. If it's because I'm old, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu get me a battery, okay, gee, thank you. But if it's not a battery, it's constant, every second. It's a different form of a kesher. There's a story that it happened in the early 90s in the Frum pool. What does it mean, the Frum pool? The frum that has separate hours for men and for women in Bet Ivrim, in Kiryat Moshe and Yerushalayim. And there was a fellow that drowned. And the lifeguard did not see him immediately. He saw him only after 40, 50 seconds, which is a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody here in Atzala? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a long time. They slept him up. And he started doing the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And now the rule is, that's what I was told, you're not supposed to do it next to a wall. It should be an open area. Because the body of the person who drowned starts to jerk and jump. And that's what happened. And he gave, of course, totally unintentionally, a real knock to the lifeguard with his foot from behind, and he threw him on the wall. And he needed stitches, but he kept on doing the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It was at Tzelos Nefashos. They took him immediately afterwards to the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, which you know is right across Mamash, a minute away. And Baruch Hashem, after 2-3 days, he was released. No damage. Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. Somehow, someone told them what happened. That he gave a geschmack, a kick, to the lifeguard who saved him. So he came to the house of the lifeguard like a week later, brought him a beautiful gift, and Mama's crying, but Mama's shalish. Could you please forgive me what I did to you? He says, what did you do? You didn't do anything. No, I heard that I did something to you. What? I see you still have the scratch. You needed stitches because of me. And now you're going to have a siman on your forehead, kol yemei chayecha, because of me. He says, what's the difference? I'm married already. Shtuyot. It's okay. No, but you came to help me. You came to save my life. And while you're doing that, I harmed you. I cannot live with this kind of feeling. That's what I did. If I would do it to Stavi, it would have been terrible. But to Yid that came to help me. He was Mephias, and he said, Shtiyot, you're not even, I brought the yeshiva about him. You're not even called the Oinus, you called them himself. Like, you weren't Badaas. It wasn't you, it was your goof. Fine, he was Mephias. But we all, I think, understand very clearly what that fellow felt, the one who drowned. That's what I did to the one who came to help me. Hashem Yenachem. When we do an Aver Rabbi site, that's what we're doing to the Eberster. If he gave us a battery 100 X amount of years ago, okay, he gave it then. Thank you very much. But he gave it then, and now it's going on. But if it's every second mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, every second he's popping into your chiyus, how do I know that's the same? Because it says, Chaim Birtsoinai. The Maral says in the Siddur Musar Chesed, you know what Malach HaMavis means? We understand Malach HaMavis as some kind of angel that comes and does blue. No. He just causes, so to speak, a Kodesh Baruch Hu to lift the finger from the button that he's pressing to keep you alive. Meaning, why are we alive now? Not because status quo, and because just things go on. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, consciously, so to speak, is pressing a button. You should live. What does Misa mean? Picking up the button. Picking up the finger from the button. That's what it means. So if I'm this very second that we're all alive now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is popping into us chiyus. How on earth can I disobey his rutzen? How on earth can I be involved and think, okay, a person, you know, here and there we do averis. We're not malachim. But if I do it on a regular basis, so how could I speak Lashon Hara on a regular basis that with and being sustained from the chiyus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you that very second? Not because once he gave it to you. The Shulchan represents, let's go into another aspect of the Shulchan to show this point. There was a nes with the lechem. Everybody say, remember what the nes was with the lechem? It was fresh. It was hot like the way you took it. When you put it on, that's how hot it was when you took it away. What's the purpose of this nes? Because Bogle doesn't do a nes in vain. What's the purpose? You could say that the bread should be fresh for the Kohanim. There's probably other ways you can make a toast out of it. I don't know. You need such a kind of miracle. So Rav Huchna Zatzal in the Pachad Yitzchok, Pesach, Ma'amon and Ches explains that the purpose of the Nes is to show that whatever is the bluff in Olam Hazeh, in Beis Hamikdash, there's no bluff. There the emes is without being covered up. That's Yadua. That's like Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. There's no rabbinical decrees in the Mikdash because there you don't make mistakes. It's clear. There's no toast. Mashiach, when you come to the world, there's a toast. Now, we live in a world that it seems that the chidush of the object is when it's, let's say, bread, when it's baked. And then it's just status quo. That's what we understand. And it cools off as time goes on. But the emes is a Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly baking the bread. That's the emes. Just in this world, that the continuing of the baking is sealed and covered. But in Beis HaMikdash, it's revealed. That's the kind of was lechem upon him comes from the word pnim, pnimius. In the pnimius world, it's constantly being baked, and it's constantly being cooked, and it's constantly being taken care of. So why should it be hot only in the first moment? What made it hot the first moment will make it hot a week later. It's constantly being baked. Over here, when you go to Grzynski, you come after a few hours, it's cold. Our Hasbro boys are real upset now that we moved. The bagels, when they come out to the base, they're not as hot as they used to be when we were in there. And they're very upset. I tell them, but the hole's the same. No, but they want the around the hole. They don't want the hole. Right? So I'll call upon him. That's the world that we live in. That things get cooled up. It seems the chiddush is only b'sha'as ha'yitzira. And then somehow it just manages on its own. But we know that's not the emes. Ki hu amar v'yehi hu tziva v'yamoid. Right, so the Hasidim say, Hu Amar Vayei is the creation, and the same act of creating is keeping on the whole time. That's what it is. So therefore, the lechem upon him, which again, we're just going back to what the function of the shulchan. Again, that's again the Gemara in Chagigah, but in that same place. That the lechem was boiling hot when you removed it, just like when you put it on, when it came out fresh out of the oven. The idea behind it again is telling us, it's constant ischachus, constant renewal. Constant, every day you're alive again. You say, Moida Ani. You say, I'm Machzir Neshama is Livgoni Mason. Right? Some people at the end of this year will say, I'm Machzir Neshama is Livgoni Mason. Right? That's what's going to happen. So, meaning, I'll call upon him. It is like when we. It is called that you're born again. This all starts from the Shulchan. It's a different kind of kesher. If you understand that you're alive now, because now, this very second that we're talking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided you should live. You should keep on living. That's what the Shulchan represents. So let's go back to what we learned here. The Shulchan comes from the word Lishloyach. Why? The bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the whole world grows from the Shulchan. That's a come, and the Shulchan is the place where you eat, and that's where the bracha lands. So that's a come, there's a in Lashon HaKadosh, we call a table after this shlichus, and it's called Shulchan. Again, you don't have this in other languages. This is what's special about Lashon HaKodesh. The Ran says in the beginning of the second Adarim. Other languages, people got together and made up words by random. There sometimes there's a shtickle shaykhis. But Lashon HaKodesh, each word is be'etzem. Each letter represents be'etzem something, and the letters put together represent the concept. Okay? Everything has, it's manyan, like young. Tsa'ir comes from the word tsa'ar. You would think young people are less tsa'ar. But here comes the shaykhis. Ayarishischa mitzal. Vachischa yizgemoid. Like, Bamba's Rabbi said, when you have free time, you're traveling, you got free time to think. Think about Hebrew words. In Lashon HaKodesh, you can discover oitzvahs. And it's Torah. The Rambam says, mitzvah kal is learning digduk. Hevezob, mitzvah kal, mitzvah hamuma. Says the Rambam, is dikduk. The only haskama that I'm aware of that the Maral gave to when he was alive was to the Sefer Em Hayelet, which is on dikduk. And he writes there in the haskama how important it is to learn dikduk and to know Lashon HaKodesh. But by saying, so let's conclude. We're here today, and we're mitzvahship will be here till 120, each and every one of us. But every second, you're alive now, not because you were alive yesterday. You're alive now because, like the same second when you were born. Right when you were born, it was a chiddush. Everybody told your parents mazal tov. And wow, what a psura teiva. A new yid came to the world. It's happening b'kesoy every second that we're alive. Hamachadish b'tuvoy b'chol yom tomid ma'isa b'reshis. I just want to conclude, since we mentioned askomas, yesterday was the yortzeit of Yisrael Salanter. And his Talmidim say his Yortzeit always falls out on the week of Parshas Mishpatim because he always dealt with Ben Adam L'Chaver. And I just want to bring a little maise that has to do with the Askama that I heard from Rosh Hashiva Rav Yitzchak Gutman Zatzal. The Chofetz Chaim was a young man when he wrote this Sefer Chofetz Chaim. He was, I think, 30 years old. Rav Yisrael Salanter was the Godel Hador. And the Chofetz Chaim went over to Rav Yisrael Salanter and asked the Askama. Rav Yisrael Salanter went over the Sefer Mitchila Batzoif, said it for Valdik. It's an unbelievable piece of work. There's just one halacha that I disagree with, and I will not be able to give a skala due to that. What's the halacha? You paskin in your Sefer that if Reuben spoke Lashon Hara about Shimon, and Shimon's not aware of it, and Reuben wants to get a Mechila from Shimon, you should go tell him, I spoke about your Lashon Hara, please forgive me. That's the only way that the Mechila, you'll get a mechila. Says Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, I disagree. Because you want to get mechila, Reuben wants to get mechila, he could go cause anguish to Shimon? Shimon's going to know, what's Shimon going to feel when he hears this? That you spoke about me, Lashon Hara, and I should forgive you. He won't like to hear it. So you'll remain without a mechila. Because you want mechila, you could tzibuk in another yid's heart? So remain without mechila. Burn in hell. Malasot. You don't have a heter to cause Akmas Nefesh to another Yid, because you want Mechila. Said the Chofetz Chaim, but I have a Rabbeinu Yona that says it. I don't make it up on my own. Rabbeinu Yona says it. So Rabbi Shlomo Salanter says, for sure, the Rabbeinu Yona is speaking a different kind of case. He already knew to some degree, whatever. But to say if he doesn't know at all and you go tell him, you're not allowed to. The Chofetz Chaim said, I'm sorry, this is the Ravina Yoina, and I wrote this for him, this is based on Rishonim, I have to leave it. So he said, Mishlo, Father, I respect what you're saying, but then I cannot give a Haskama. Said the Chofetz Chaim, maybe the Rav could write a Haskama, and in the Haskama, right, that he disagrees with this halacha. A chap of the Chofetz Chaim. So right on the top, Rav Yisrael Salanter, and write that Haskama, I agree to the Sefer, there's one halacha that I disagree with. That's fair. Divrei Torah, you know, Machlokes Shamayim. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, I cannot do that. Why not? People see the headline, but they don't read the small letters. These are clever people. These are clever people. So look at till today, the Chofetz Chaim, till today. There's no Haskama, Rav Yisrael Salanter. Both of them, you know, we think sometimes the Chofetz Chaim, I'll just take another minute, is was a pasha that to me was the kid. You know how clever he was? This I heard from Rav Shach. Should I say the story or should... Yeah? Everybody will be awake? Okay. Rav Shach Zatzal said the story over to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zechut Tzadik L'Brach of both, and in the room was present Yibod L'Chaim Tovim, a young fellow, Rav Yitzchak Lubin, who was the brother of the Shul in Harnof. That tragedy happened there. What? Och Shabbos. And he said over the story. I heard it from him. Rav Shach said, people think the Chofetz Chaim was a big tzaddik. Let me tell you a story. There was an American Jew that came to visit Slutsk by Rabbi Zalman Meltzer's yeshiva between the two wars, apparently from a well-to-do family. And Mala Asot, the Malach HaMovitz, took him while he was visiting Slutsk. The local Chevra Kadisha buried him in the basic forest of the Yidden in Slutsk. And the family was from a city in America. We're working on how to get all the permits possible to remove the Nifter to Eretz Yisrael. Those days, with a ship, there's no planes. And they sent a special shaliach to take care of it. Said to himself, oh, this is like a Meltzer. I got an idea. We in the yeshiva, we don't have food. I mean, literally, no food. He made a chesed that the amount of money that the family is planning to spend on transferring the Nifter from Slutsk to Eretz Yisrael with all the permits and the ship and so on, the yeshiva of 200 bochim could survive on it for another 6 months. So let's convince the family that they should leave the Nifter in Slutsk, and the money that they were planning to invest, they should give to the yeshiva, and the 6 months of learning Torah for the yeshiva will be L'Ilui Nishmas, the Nifter. Sounds a good deal. Said Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, but I'm afraid maybe I'm no geva dover. He told Rav Shach, who was his nephew, go ask the Chofetz Chaim if it's a good idea. So Rav Shach went to the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim said, Taka to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a big mitzvah. Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Obadosh is far Matan Torah, before Matan Torah. Noch Matan Torah, the biggest thing is to Achzokas Torah and Torah. They should remove the Nifter to Eretz Yisrael. Posach Bakad, Yisrael Bechobis. So Rav Shach told the Chofetz Chaim, could the Rav please repeat what he said? He repeated it. Okay. He asked him twice. That's what he said. He went back to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer and told him that. Rabbi Zalman said, it doesn't make sense. He was building up a point that Torah is the most important, that he says to transfer the Nifter to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you misunderstood him. He said, I asked him twice. You know what? Go ask another big Rav in those days. And Rav Shach went to the other big Rav. And the Rav said, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a Gavaldik Yisrus, Yaakov, Yosef. Of that, far Matan Torah. Noch Matan Torah, the most important thing is to be Hachzakas Torah. They should convince the family to leave the Nifter in Slutsk, and the money should go to the yeshiva. Oh! Makes sense! A, B, C! Rav Shach says, can I get this in writing, please? Yeah, I'll write it for you. He brought it over to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Ah, that's probably what the Chofetz Chaim meant. Also, you just misunderstood. Fine. They called over the shaliach who was involved, and they told him, he showed him this letter. He said, what do you say? He said, I'm only a shaliach. I don't have rishus to make these decisions. We'll telegraph the family in America, telegraph already existed then, and whatever they said. Fine, of course, that's what you got to do. The family responded. If today being buried in Eretz Yisrael is not the top priority, fine, we'll leave the Nifter in Slutsk. And the money will stay with us in America. Then they understood what the Chofetz Chaim meant. Yes. What the Chofetz Chaim meant. Klapei Shmaya for sure, keeping the Nifter in Chutz Laaretz and holding Yeshiva of 200 Bochum is the biggest Sus you could dream of. Ma Yishan Dabel. Achzok Estaya? The Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam is one word of 6 months of 200 Bochum. But the family is now excited about moving to Eretz Yisrael. You want to extinguish their excitement on Eretz Yisrael and ignite it for Torah. You know what's going to happen? Nishtahim, v'nishtahav. You might as well at least do it that way. And that's exactly what happened. You called them up from their Hislavus of Eretz Yisrael. They were not interested necessarily in doing that as Zokas Torah. So it came up, nothing. So till today, he's buried in Slutsk, getting the yeshiva, they get the money either. And a lot of times you find this in Chinuch. You see, a boy has a tendency for pkiyas. So the yeshiva shemahalach will go, will be, I'm one of them. Pkiyas, that's what's all about him. You gotta learn Eon. You'll get him turned off from pkiyas. He may not necessarily be interested in Eon, and he'll be nishtahim, but nishtahar. So Rav Shach said this story over to show the pikhas of the Chofetz Chaim. Like, just remember, he knew score. When you look at the Hilchos Lashon Hara, he knew exactly how Lashon Hara happens, how it evolves, and so on. Rabbi said, we should all be zeichet to what? To feel these chachus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu pumping us into our schirs every second of the day. Thank you.